All right, let's see if we got this. Let's see if we got this going here. Hey, Al, are you with us?
You got me now?
Yeah, I do. I don't know what happened. There's some problem with Discord stages and that little alien with the mask on his face.
He's a very cute alien, though. It is a cute alien. Even if he is terrible at his job.
Yeah, he's doing a bad job over there. If people decide they want to call in or whatever, we can move over to the open voice chat. I just don't like doing that because it's like our wide open chat for testing. Anyway, before we get started, Al, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and the Q Origins project?
Sure. So we are more or less what it says on the tin. We look at how QAnon started on 4chan and why it caught fire there at all, and then how it spread into the broader internet, because it's not normal for, you know, a 4chan phenomenon to not only make the leap into Reddit, into Twitter, into YouTube, into Facebook, but have the kind of staying power that QAnon did. And I just thought that was a fascinating phenomenon. And since nobody else was writing about it, I went, all right, then, I guess this is my life now, and really dove in. While we're at it, Robert, can you please introduce yourself? I'm usurping your hosting duties, but I just want to make sure everyone gets to know how excellent Robert is and how slightly terrified of bragging he looks right now.
Hi, so I'm Robert. I've been working with Al on the Q Origins project since, gosh, I think late December of last year, so not too long, but yeah, so I handle some of the data science-y type of stuff, web hosting kind of stuff, and our new archiving project.
Yes, which is going to be sort of the single largest archive of QAnon-related content from almost every source. We still haven't cracked Facebook yet, but we're going to have Reddit, Twitter, 4chan, 8chan. If you want to find truly gross QAnon-related content, our archive is going to be the number one, the only useful place to go once it opens up to the public, which will be soon. We also have, we published a little bit in Bellingcat, which is sort of the leading journal of open source intelligence, meaning essentially stuff you can find by looking real hard on the internet. That's really all it boils down to. And we'd be happy to discuss sort of anything and everything with you. Any questions you have, any questions the viewers have, we'd be delighted. Also, thank you for having us on. I talked for way too long without saying that. Should have led with that. Thank you.
That's all right. Thank you both for coming on. Robert's probably familiar to some of the people in the Discord and whatnot. So, you know, you'd mentioned Facebook, and that one's going to be a bit of a tough egg to crack, I think, because a lot of what happened in Facebook QAnon space was happening in closed groups. So you're not going to really have as much access, I don't think, like Twitter's like wide open. And so I think Facebook would be a tougher egg to crack anyway. Although I tell people all the time, they're like, oh, all these people learned about Q on 4chan. I'm like, fuck off. They learned about it on Facebook.
Yes. Yes. 100%. There are so many people who go, I've been following Q since the first post. No, you fucking haven't. And I can prove it. Nobody has been following Q since the first post because it vanished without a trace and was not rediscovered for about 2 weeks afterwards. All y'all are liars. And I've seen hundreds of people saying that. I get unreasonably mad about this. I don't know why. Out of all the things about QAnon I could be mad about. But don't worry, I managed to be mad about the others too.
Oh, I'm mad about what QAnon did to my friend's fucking brother, but that's a whole different story.
I mean, feel free to tell it.
No, that's somebody else's personal information. That, I don't want to. But yeah, friend's brothers did go down the rabbit hole, and that like sucks. Like, I used to think the rabbit hole not to go down was like chemtrails or something. Chemtrails seems pretty adorable now.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, I remember the first chemtrails encounter I ever had in real life was sort of unwitting. It was at a dinner with, you know, my partner, one of my partner's friends, and the friend's small child. And I made some kind of joke about chemtrails and discovered to my horror that, oh no, my partner's friend very, very much believed chemtrails were real and immediately swooped in and grasped her child by the forearm and went, some of us, in fact, think chemtrails are real. And oh god, that moment. I couldn't decide whether to shrivel up and die from the social anxiety of it, or to shrivel up and die from the, oh god, this child is going to grow up real messed up of it. It was not my favorite moment. And yet chemtrails, as you say, are just child's play comparatively.
Right, like
chemtrails believers. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh yeah, no, it's fine. This lady we've been making fun of who does chemtrails doesn't like me. She's like,
Gay Dave is a fucking freak. He's a cuckoo whore, and I despise him.
this Lady Madison Star Moon, but now she seems adorable because like she didn't even fall for QAnon. She's like anti-mask and shit, but she didn't even fall for QAnon.
This is amazing to me. First of all, there's someone who is so deep into the sort of conspiracy lore and doesn't fall for QAnon. And yet there are people like that. There's a person on Reddit on Our Conspiracy, or which I really hope I have the right community here. But there's a person on Our Conspiracy who has been against QAnon consistently from the very beginning. Like, I was tracking his comments, and like as early as the very earliest pivot Q made away from one set of failed predictions to another set of predictions Q hadn't even made. But as early as that first pivot, this person was like, hey, do you see? That was a fucking bait and switch. Don't you all see? And this person's been waging like a lonely one-man war for what must feel like centuries doing it. And yet this person also believes in a bunch of weird conspiracy shit. I wish I understood better what made some people just reject it. Like, do they just feel like it's cooler to reject it and make them one of the cool discerning kids if they only stop at chemtrails?
Maybe they just don't believe it.
I mean, that's such a simple answer that it would give me nothing to talk about and look smart. How could I live with that?
Robert, were you always interested in conspiracy theories, like prior to getting involved in kind of doing data science around QAnon, or was your interest more in data science and that's sort of how you got in?
It's kind of neither. It was, I was kind of like, I don't want to say thrust into it. I was kind of observing my friends go down the rabbit hole over the past, like, I mean, you know, 10 years just on Facebook, kind of this slow decline. And then, of course, it kicked up when the pandemic happened. I think everyone has a story about someone going down the rabbit hole like last year. But I kind of just got interested in it from kind of just like, I mean, it was trying to find the right words, because I don't want to say it's like anger per se. It's like this, like I want to help people. I want to, and it's just so hard to watch people that I know and love go down that path, right? And so, and I'm a kind of a person who, when I'm angry about something, I want to find a solution. I don't want to just like stew about it. And so I didn't actually know anything about data science. Even I think last time we talked, I probably said that that's kind of the portion of my, like, I've always been kind of into computers and stuff, but I didn't know anything about statistics a year ago. And so I've kind of been spending this whole past year just catching up, seeing what role I can play, what I can do to help. And that's kind of what led me to the Origins Project.
Cool. And how did the two of you come into contact with one another?
Robert, do you want to take that or shall I?
You go ahead.
Hi. So fundamentally what happened was I posted a bunch of dumb shit and Robert was sitting on some data that proved it was dumb shit. And he very politely sort of cleared his throat and went, I think that might not be entirely right. Look at this. And oh my God, I looked and not only was it immediately clear that it was right, it was immediately clear that Robert was extremely talented. And if I could ruthlessly exploit his data science talent, I should. So I asked nicely and he said yes.
I don't actually remember what was I'm sure it was something timestamp related, because that was what I was kind of looking into first, right?
Yes, absolutely. So it was when I thought I had discovered some sock puppets that Q was using. And I had this long, elaborate, very well worked out textual argument about it. And you sort of went, yes, except that they were posting through like 5 a.m. Pacific time. And if you look at all of Q's other activity around this time, you notice that Q was going to bed about, you know, about midnight Pacific time. And Q was starting to post around 9 a.m. Pacific time all the time ever. So this would be quite unusual. And I had to go. Right. Yes, that would be incredibly unusual. God damn it. And I still don't know to this day, like, cause the textual side of that argument was very strong. If you just look at what it posted, it almost had to be sock puppets. But if you just look at the fact that Q had the pretty well-defined schedule, life is full of little mysteries, and that's going to be one probably for the rest of mine. I will have a tiny part of my brain wondering, was I right, or was Robert right, or what? But, such is life. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I came across Robert before I came across you, Al. I think Robert, I don't remember, just probably shit posting on Twitter, honestly.
It was posting
his life.
Yeah. It was, I remember the exact moment. It was when we were you had posted something about this horrific Facebook group and how you had reported them, and they came back and said there's nothing wrong here. And I was like, I'm having this exact problem right now. Like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, I do post a lot about Facebook. Yeah. Like I said, Facebook is where everybody learns about conspiracy theories. They may end up on Telegram or even one of the chans, but that top of that funnel is some Facebook, like some Facebook local group about vaccines or something, you know?
It really is everywhere. Like, the information environment must always have been terrible, right? Like, maybe I just wasn't... I think it was always terrible, and maybe I just wasn't observant enough to notice it when I was, you know, a teenager wasting my youth in the weird corners of the internet. Like, intellectually, I know there must have been dumb, shitty takes everywhere all the time, but it just feels so different now. It feels like there's a fire hose now, and there used to be a little baby trickle. I don't know how true any of that is. One of you might.
I figure maybe that's one for me. The conspiracy movement kind of got a bunch of fire thrown on it by the a bunch of gasoline thrown on it by the pandemic. Yeah. Probably a couple of factors. I don't know for sure, but a lot of people being stuck at home who might have otherwise been conspiracy minded. Now they can post and read conspiracy shit all day. Actually, that's it. Probably. That's probably the main factor for it. Plus, you know, the anti-vaccine movement kind of merged with QAnon in a lot of ways, or in the QAnon movement. I don't even know how to talk about it. And so, like, as kind of Q went away, the anti-vax movement just kind of picked up where it left off. It was like a perfect storm in a lot of ways. I had noticed 2 or 3 years ago, I started noticing like far right figures at anti-vaccine events, particularly at the one in Sacramento in 2018 for SB 276, which was going to get rid of a lot of vaccine exemptions in schools.
Oh, I remember that. That was because at the time I was involved in a group for sort of people who had been homeschooled and not treated great by the homeschooling system, and wanted to lobby for homeschool reform. And that was a knockdown, drag out fight because, you know, a lot of the homeschooling parents were also anti-vaxxers. I don't remember anyone remarking on far right figures, but it sounds to me very like A, you're not making that shit up. And B, I do remember just like a lot of people descended on the California Capitol and were real loud and real contentious and very persistent going around visiting legislators.
Cernovich was there. I saw people in the Proud Boys colors there. And leading up to the event, an online friend of ours we met through the anti-Scientology community had also pointed out that he had noticed that some higher up sort of members of Scientology, that whole shit's fuzzy because you can't really get to its hierarchy. You don't know who everyone is unless they're a very public figure, but that some higher up members of the Scientology organization were also providing funding and trying to help promote the event. So it was like for me, that event was like a perfect storm of everything we talk about. We talk about right-wing extremism, conspiracy movements, and we have a whole ass fucking show about Scientology on Thursday nights. So
Yeah, and Scientology is just, if I hadn't gone down the QAnon rabbit hole, I probably would have gone down Scientology, because it's just, it has so many of the same features. It's got its own little language. Uh-huh. It's got its own strange culture that is sort of embedded in culture, in wider culture. And yes, it interacts with it, but it's also like, once you're in, and you sort of become this shit passing in the night from normal human society in a lot of ways. But mainly for me, honestly, the draw would have been the language, just like, Scientology lingo is fascinating because you look at it and you're like, those sure are words, and yet someone in the chat mentioned earlier that 9 to 5 sounds like a job in terms of Q's posting schedule, and Robert, do you remember it well enough to deliver a quick like extemporaneous bit about Q's schedule in the early days, or you look slightly
I can pull up the graphs. I'm sure we have it somewhere in the Discord, and I know we've been talking about this for forever, but
well, even if you, yeah, can just if you ballpark break it down it, by like yeah, nobody here's, I mean, nobody here's trying to fact by, check every last word. Well, I don't know, in this chat maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think you were right, Al. You said it was something like a 9 to 5, right? We definitely see activity just before 9 o'clock. It may have been 8 o'clock. Like, I don't quote me on these exact numbers, but we see like activity. What we've projected onto it is like maybe just before work, right? This is kind of what we see, and then there's a gap for a few hours, and then maybe there's like a little, maybe like a lunch break, maybe there's like, you know, and then we see more activity after another few hours. So we're kind of, we don't know. We can't say if this is a job, if it's school, if it's a meeting, but we do see kind of patterns. And this actually, if you break it down by weekday, you can see it on, maybe you can help me out, Al. It's like a Tuesday, yeah, Thursday thing, or Monday, Wednesday
what
thing.
What time zone?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh,
we're kind of assuming, yeah, we're assuming Pacific, but we don't know. It would just be transposed. If it's an East Coast guy, and then, you know, that's, what, 11 o'clock. So we can't say, but we think Pacific.
No, we had just meant the data, like, yeah, of course. People probably weren't asking if you knew exactly what time zone it was coming from, but rather like,
Oh, yeah, when I say eight, I mean, right, 8 Pacific.
8 here.
Yes.
Yeah, we're all on the West Coast.
Yes. But we do have also a fairly good idea that Q was posting from the Pacific time zone the vast majority of the time. And here, I'm real glad that we have Robert here to give a better explanation of it than I can, because I have to pause for a moment and say the thing with the cat is deeply distressing, and I hope you're okay, man. That's not great. That's sort of everyone's nightmare, actually. And wow, there's no good way to segue back out of that.
No, that's yikes. Okay. Chat here is like a family. People will come in and talk about things that happen in their day. Yeah, I forgot what you were about to say too, but that, I'm not supposed to remember what you were about to say because you were.
That's true. No, that is that is my job. By the way, it's okay to talk about your day in a space with your friends. Please don't apologize for that. That's what the internet is for. Gracious. But what I had been about to say was about the location of Q and how we're fairly confident that Q is posting almost always from the Pacific time zone, because we found some metadata on photos that Q had uploaded. And Robert can sort of walk you through how we sort of extracted the Pacific time zone from them. So over to you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much like how technical you want to get with it, but we did. I'm going to credit, this was Abigail who discovered that, who is not currently an active member of the project, but who has been its greatest contributor so far, I think, in terms of this incredible finding that we had. So we did publish this on Bellingcat, and I think we've kind of explained it there in writing in a way that's pretty accessible. So I don't know, maybe if I can just pull it up super quick. So what Abigail found, she looked at all of the screenshots that she looked at all of the images that Q had posted in Q drops. And she found that if you look at specifically the screenshots, so images that actually look like a mobile phone screenshot, like you had taken a photo and then later taken a screenshot of it, so there's black bars at the top and bottom.
Yes.
What she found is that
the other way.
What's that?
Oh, I just can say the other way we know that they're screenshots is that the metadata had them tagged as screenshots, which is a good indicator right there, and the UI and the graphics, you know, the sort of, I guess, user interface of it looks like what you'd get on an iPhone when you're scrolling through the gallery, because it is. And one of them actually has a picture of the little bar at the bottom of the gallery included. So we got it coming and going. We know for sure these are screenshots.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, in the GPS coordinates thing. Robert, do you want to tell them about the house in Alabama?
Oh, man, I haven't thought about that in a while. But that was an Anon, right? That wasn't Q. That was someone who had posted in the Q thread.
Of course.
So if you
know, but
Yeah, but so if you don't know, there's, you know, images have metadata, or, you know, data that you don't see just by looking at the image. Oh gosh, I'm going to fail at explaining
It's just a text file in the image, just like ID3 tags would be for an MP3. Most good, like a social media site will scrub that when you put an image up, like Facebook, Twitter, et cetera, will scrub that when you put an image up. But maybe 4chan isn't really, 4chan and 8chan aren't exactly the highest quality things in the world. So they may overlook things like that.
No. You want to go ahead?
You go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. And so we had downloaded a bunch of images just from random anons, random users of these boards, as well as Q, just to make sure there wasn't something weird going on with Q's images in particular. And one of those other images not only had all the EXIF data that you would expect, but it had the GPS coordinates plunked right down, which led to a specific house in a specific suburb of Alabama. And it was a shot, not of Alabama, but in Alabama. And then it was an interior shot, so like you can go to Google Maps and see exactly where he lives, and then you can see exactly what the inside of his house looks like. And that was kind of a terrifying moment for me, because I was like, wow, we are holding some random stranger's privacy and life completely in our hands. But the good news is that if any of you happen to post on the chans, almost always all that stuff gets scrubbed. Like a tiny, tiny percentage of images seems, for whatever reason, to not have it scrubbed. So if any of you are like, is mine out there? It probably is not, at least not off of 4chan. That's true. I'm sorry, that was a terrible digression. And Robert was in the middle of something.
No, that's fine. This is super casual here, man. The chat does not expect NPR here, let me tell you.
Oh, thank God for that. I cannot do informative whispering at all. But Robert, where were we on this? Oh, right. We were going to explain how we came to the Pacific time zone as, yes, that's where he's posting from.
Yeah. So we did find images. We did find EXIF or metadata on this subset of images that were screenshots. Not all of them, I think, but we found, I want to say, I think it was 29 images that had a metadata field that showed what the local device time was at the time of the screenshot. And it didn't have a time zone there, but what we were able to do is compare that against the time that the drop was posted. And by doing this, we're comparing a timestamp with no time zone to a timestamp that does have a known time zone. And what you see when you do that is you see the UTC offset. So, you know, Pacific time would be either -7 or -8, 7 or 8 hours behind UTC or Greenwich time, depending on daylight savings time. And plus a small amount of time that represents the time between the screenshot and the post being uploaded. So
right, just on the assumption here that Q is going to, you know, take that screenshot when they need it and use it a few minutes later, which almost always does seem to be the case. Because like, so let's imagine here that Q is the world's weirdest person and just takes a screenshot a random number of minutes before posting it. Okay, if you were to map out how long elapses just in like minutes within the hour between when the screenshot is taken, when it's posted, you would expect, if it was totally random, to see, you know, a fairly even distribution of that. If Q is posting almost right away, you would expect to see, you know, it's the image taken at 1708 hours and then posted at XX12 or something, UTC time. So the point is that we see almost always that only a few minutes appear to elapse between the photo being taken and the photo being posted, and that just strongly indicates that Q is taking it and using it almost right away. And that also just like how people generally work. You don't take a photo and then wait 1 hour and 4 minutes or whatever to post it. You just take a photo and use it 4 minutes later in general, everyday walking around the internet stuff. Walking around the internet, oh God.
Well, I mean... But- maybe if somebody's like at a concert or whatever, they'll take a bunch of pictures and then not upload them from the concert. But you're not talking about somebody going to a concert. So
no, we're talking about, you know, somebody who is making often a series of sequential posts and then, you know, will select sort of thematic pictures for each one and wants them at the front of the camera roll as they perhaps phone post or email them to themselves on a computer, whatever it may be. So they'll be going through the phone gallery, taking a picture of whatever, you know, photo they wanted to use and posting that. There was some thought in our chat, too, that maybe Q is technologically sophisticated enough to want to make sure that any EXIF data that goes up isn't from exactly when and where the photo was taken, but is from when the screenshot was taken instead. And I'm just like, I have no opinion on that one.
I think, I think the screenshot of a picture or whatever where it shows the sort of controls of their phone, I think they did that for authenticity's sake because conspiracy theorists do that shit all the time. It's like, why did you take a screenshot of a meme and then post it? They just do that. So maybe this person just was doing it for the sake of authenticity. You know, wanted to seem like they didn't know how to use a damn phone.
And also entirely possible, although you can tell that Q is of a certain, I guess, like a certain socioeconomic status because Q travels. And that was another thing we found when we were looking at the metadata, that some of it appeared to have been posted from UTC+8, which is the world's most populated time zone, just because it includes China, for starters, and a whole bunch of other countries. But those were photos typically of places in Asia, and more often than not, like, you know, sort of high-end hotels in Asia, either of high-end hotels or taken from high-end hotels, or in one case, taken from Marriott, which is like, okay, medium-end hotel. But nonetheless, it takes money to, you know, travel from the U.S. to Asia, and it tells you something about maybe the job, maybe the family, maybe just the tourism interest, we don't know. But for somebody to be able to sort of, you know, bounce around another continent for a week or so at a time, and potentially much longer than that, that's someone who is not, you know, you're not going to throw a dart on the street and hit someone who does that.
I mean, depends what neighborhood you're in, but yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That is very true. But it does sort of suggest the sort of neighborhood we should be looking in if we were going to look.
That's fair. Yeah, yeah.
Yes. And I do want to add, if we are going to look is a very valid caveat to that, just because, like, sure, everyone wants to find out who Q is. I'm curious, too. But for me, QAnon isn't a problem because of Q, because there's always going to be someone who's selling what Q is selling. QAnon is a problem because of the Anons. Like, why did so many people jump on board with the fascist death cult at this particular moment in history? What's going on in our society that makes that attractive to them? What, if anything, can we do about that? Those are much more interesting questions to me, and they're questions that hardly anyone in the press ever asks. And I've been guilty enough of that, too, by focusing too much on Q, but that is where the game is to be played. Well, I guess that is where the game is to be played.
No, I mean, we all kind of get in where we fit in. While you are doing that, people like me are doing the other thing. We're like, yes, Examining conspiracy movements more broadly, you know, trying to make fun of them, hoping to peel a few people off here and there. So like, we all get in where we fit in. It's not like one is better than the other, or that one is more useful than the other. Cause if it wasn't for people researching what's actually going on in these conspiracy movements for me to take a look at, I wouldn't have that much to talk about. I'd be like, oh, look, these people, you know, are moon truthers. That's stupid. And then that'd be it. There'd be nothing else to talk about. There'd be no more further information, which is top notch content, mind you. But I like to try to offer a little more. So I appreciate everybody doing research into conspiracy movements, especially people like the two of you who don't have funding. Like, Robert, what's it like trying to do these data science sets without any funding? Like, what's it, how does that feel?
I mean, I'm okay. I don't have a day job, so I'm actually pretty lucky to be able to spend as much time as I want on this stuff. And I've been spending like a lot of time on this stuff. Al, we're getting some noise from here.
Yeah.
Yes.
Are you feeding a horse the ivermectin right now? That's what it sounded like. Sorry.
Go ahead. I would say that Robert is like a goddamn hero for the amount of work he puts in and the skill he puts in, the skill that he brings to it too. And it's all for free. So thank you, Robert. And if I can brag on you a tiny bit, I will say that, like, we've worked with, I think, total of 4, you know, working professional data scientists over the course of this project. And every single one of them has been like, holy shit, Robert, you are very good at this. You're not very good for an amateur. You would be a very good professional. So really, thank you for taking, you know, taking so much time out of your life when you could be, you know, doing this for a living and working on my dumb passion project. I appreciate it, and I hope that I don't know, I hope my appreciation is enough. That sounds wrong. That sounds totally wrong.
just so you know, if somebody drops like $2 million or $3 million on my project, you ain't gonna have Robert anymore. I'll buy him.
If somebody drops $10 million on my project, first, I will die of shock, but second, all of you can come to my house and take my best stuff.
Oh, great.
But not the $10 million.
Great. You're like, I'm just going to leave this house here, this peasant house.
Oh, yes, absolutely. So, I've already got the neighborhood picked out.
Both of you, we'll maybe start with Robert. What surprised you kind of the most as you looking into this? Like, because when you look at anything complicated, there's going to be surprises. So like, can you, or maybe not the most, but like something that just kind of immediately comes to mind, like what surprised you?
Yeah. So I think everyone has this idea when they're just starting to learn about QAnon, that Q is like this mastermind who, you know, who like planned. I mean, I don't know if this is just my idea of what people think, but like people think he like told people to go to the Capitol on January 6th. Like none of that ever happened. Right. I don't think he even ever used the word adrenochrome in the drops. Like, mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing that surprised me about QAnon is just how much of the mythos was created by the Anons. Like really it's like this, I don't quite have the word for it, but it's like a, and I've heard it compared to like D&D before, where you have a DM who's kind of just like, kind of has like a plan of where this game is going to go. And then, you know, the players like latch on to these little, gosh, I'm going to totally butcher this. I think it's, Al, do you know what I'm talking about? I think Poker may have said this.
I think I know what you're thinking about. Is it Gander's little bit at the top of his bio about like, I will never be impressed by Q because I've been a DM in D&D before?
Yes, it's the sash thing, right? You know what I'm talking about?
Ooh, and oh yeah, I have it off the top of my head, but I also just wanted to say a cult of personality that is made up by the participants is a really, really good summary. And of course, it's not typically how cults of personality tend to work, because those, you know, tend to have a sophisticated media apparatus behind them. If you are the dictator of even quite a small country and you want to build a cult of personality, it's going to be coming from the top down, all that messaging. But QAnon's interesting because the participants really did build so much of it from the bottom up, and every, you know, there are heavy hints in the drops. And Q will sometimes even say, no, you're off track, refocus, and then give them a direction. But so much of QAnon culture is just the Anons talking shit and developing their individual headcanon and spinning that off into new storylines, which Q occasionally picks up on and sometimes never comments on, and it still becomes wildly popular. It's just a really fascinating movement.
Okay, just real quick, the Honorable Jay, thanks for resubbing. You could spend your money anywhere. I don't know why you spend it here. That's the way I think about it. Funny enough, is if you've ever seen those conspiracy posters where it shows like at the top is like one or two people, usually, you know, a certain religion. And then the layer down from them is like all the people doing the bad things like that we know about. And then under that is like the news, the media, like, and it just keeps going down. I don't know if you've seen that kind of conspiracy diagram before. It's usually anti-Semitic. But I'm thinking that like Q is the top of that, but all the stuff that's happening is being done by the next level down, the people they called the bakers, the people who were reading the Q drops and making YouTube videos that were the ones actually making the wild claims and giving people actual directions.
Yeah, I think that's a fair summary. The influencers really do influence the direction of the movement in a way that I'm just, I don't know how true that is of sort of influencers in general. I think when I think of like a TikTok influencer or whatever, I don't think of necessarily a fandom around them. Although, as I say this, I'm acutely aware that one of my friends who tracks this information on TikTok might grab me by the throat and scream at me until I retract it. So if either of you is more familiar with TikTok and thinks I'm wrong, like, now's a good time.
I started using it 2 weeks ago, so I'm the expert.
Ah, yeah, I got you beat by like 4 or 5 weeks. So you know what? I should stop talking now because I don't know shit.
Oh, shit, another sub. That's... Oh, crap. Exotic Lunchbox just gave out 5 subs. Thank you, Exotic Lunchbox. We've got a hype train going again, but don't worry about it. Don't just keep throwing money at me to keep the train going. Anyway, now I'm thinking about myself and how cool I am, and I'm just completely disrupted the whole flow of everything here. See,
keep throwing money at him.
So, Al, what surprised you the most? Because we kind of ended up having a discussion about what had surprised Robert the most.
Yes. Oh, yes. Sure. So I go back to the very first time I realized, oh, this is my life now, which is when I finally sat down to read the thread where Q first posted. Because for people who are not shoulder deep in QAnon lore at all, oh my God, what is that image going on?
Somebody gave us money. That's a Spanky throwing money out the window at you, actually.
Oh, all right then. All right. So the first time I went back to the thread that Q. Sorry, give me a second to gather my thoughts and find the right place to start this sentence.
That baby can be distracting. I understand.
It is their number one survival strategy to be distracting. So there is a thing called Q-drop zero. And as you might imagine from that fact, Q-drops have numbers associated with them, right? 1, 2, 3, blah, 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 all the way on to 4,953, I believe, is the last one. So drop zero is unique. Drop zero first appears in every compilation of Q's posts, appended to drop one or leading off drop one. I don't know what the word is for appended, but in the front of, but whatever, prefixing. And for the longest time, I knew about drop zero, which claimed that Hillary Clinton was going to be arrested at a specific time on a specific date. I didn't know if Q had written it, and that wasn't really clear from any of the places that QAnon followers compiled the sort of their scripture. So I went, okay, fine, I'm just going to have to go and look for myself. So I did, and I found the answer, which I'll get to in a sec, but what I also found was that every single element of what would become QAnon preceding, yes, thank you. Thank you, Nancy Drew. So every single element of what would become QAnon culture was present in that thread, right down to the religiosity, which is not super common on 4chan, as you might imagine. But you had people in there talking about Jesus a fair amount. You had people in there mentioning light workers. You had a whole lot of racism and hatred for Hillary. Somebody posted an image called demonichillary.jpg. You had people pretending to be insiders. And one such was the person that Q responded to. That was the source of drop zero. It wasn't Q. It was some other random anon, but just pretending like they had fake, pretending like they had real knowledge of forthcoming events. And the response to that anon, aside from Q, was somebody posting an image called danceofthelarper.jpg. LARPer being what they call someone who's, pretending to have this inside knowledge. And it just blew me away because immediately I was like, there is a rich cultural precedent for Q within 4chan. And it's so obvious from the first moment that, wow, Q just encapsulates all these trends and nobody had written about it. And I guess I just, in my head, I kind of thought maybe Q fell fully formed from the heavens. I don't know. That was a dumb thing to think, but the way QAnon believers talk about it, you almost talk yourself into thinking it too, that Q is different and unique and special. But no, not at all.
Right. There was a thing. There were a lot of anonymous pretending to be expert people on 4chan. That was like a meme on there for a while.
Yes.
And just for anybody who might not know, LARP is live action role play. It just means you're pretending to be it just means you're pretending.
If you've ever seen like a video of a big old nerd dressed up in a wizard costume throwing tennis balls at someone else while screaming magic missile, that's a LARPer, and that is why they say LARP with such contempt. And yes, I do remember FBI Anon, and can I talk briefly about that, or is that inappropriate?
You can talk at length about that, I don't care.
All right, thank you. So, FBI Anon was a wildly popular 4chan LARPer who never took sort of the security steps that Q took to stop themselves from being imitated, and so the exact amount of content FBI Anon has produced is subject to fierce debate. I have seen many fake FBI Anons, and the only thread that you know for sure is really FBI Anon is the first one. So FBI Anon comes along during the 2016 election, and when I talk about FBI Anon, I'm just going to talk about, like, the known verified content from the very first thread, okay? Just because everything else after that is a judgment call. So FBI Anon comes along and goes, I'm an FBI agent with intensive knowledge of the Hillary Clinton investigation. Ask me about it. This is red meat to 4chan. And by the way, no FBI agent with half a brain would go on 4chan and be like, let me leak my ongoing investigation to the whole fucking internet. No. But everyone jumps on this right away. And so he's a great illustration, too, of what I like to call the LARPer's spiral. And the reason that, not the reason, what this is you start off making a small, somewhat believable claim. You have limited scope of knowledge. You could be a real person. I am an FBI agent working on the Hillary Clinton investigation. But because that's not enough to hold people's attention, and it's not grandiose enough either, you spiral, you expand. So very soon after that, he starts saying that he has, you know, inside knowledge about geopolitics and and NATO is under tremendous pressure to blah, 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 the Russians. Why would an FBI agent have that knowledge? There's no reason. What he's really doing is pandering to the prejudices of 4chan, you know, taking subjects they're interested in, feeding them stuff they already believe. Likewise, when he goes, massive Jewish control of our politics. Well, 4chan loves to talk about massive Jewish control of our politics. That's always going to be a hit with that crowd. And FBI Anon is doubly interesting because some people will say, well, FBI Anon predicted Pizzagate. I'm sort of from Missouri on that one because, meaning show me, because there's so much, I guess, wiggle room or so much room to doubt. Well, is this the original FBI Anon when you look at later people who posted stuff somewhat related to, oh my goodness. Do you want to take a moment to thank the new subs?
Yeah, Lisa says what? One of the people who found this show because she likes to hear us talk shit about Sam Harris just gifted the community 10 subs. Welcome, new subs. You're all part of the cult. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. People have been really generous lately, actually. Maybe either I'm doing a good job streaming or I'm just doing the same job streaming as I always was, and people are finally taking a look. Yeah, the Anon with insider information was always aing on 4chan. It was weird that the QAnon took off. Robert, did you know about any of this before you got involved in this?
No, that was really not my forte, to be honest. Yeah. I was interested in conspiracy theories in general, but not, I wasn't on, you know, the chans or anything like that. So I'm kind of catching up on the culture of that.
And honestly, I think all of us would be happier if we had never set foot on the chans. So I say stay away from the chans and stay pure, except you kind of can't because of the archive project. How are you doing with that, by the way, Robert? Not how is the project going, but just in general, how does it feel to be sort of plunging into the really gross stuff for the first time in your life as a Q researcher?
Yeah, I mean, it's fascinating. I'm learning so much. I'm like embarrassed to be learning the super basics of this stuff while, you know, sort of late in the game, but at the same time, I'm just grateful to be able to learn it at all, I guess. But yeah, there is some pretty horrible stuff in there. I've seen some things I can't unsee, and that's just text. We don't even have images yet. So
yeah, I guess, yeah. I'm lucky. I left 4chan after, I don't know if everybody knows about Project Chanology. But that's pretty much when I left 4chan.
Oh, yeah.
When Project Chanology ended, I stopped going to 4chan for any reason. So I guess I got lucky. I only encountered QAnon. It came across my radar because I'm interested in conspiracy theories. And we'd already been podcasting for a while when it started. So we were talking about it. At first, I thought it might be satire, honestly, because it was pretty stupid. And I just am really cynical. But then I realized it wasn't satire, and I realized that it was just Pizzagate 2.0.
So what made you immediately, like, what put your satire antenna up?
It was ridiculous. Like, the people, because I didn't see, like, the cryptic drops from Q or whatever, right? I saw people start, I saw every dumb person on Facebook just start putting Qs everywhere. And I was like, whatever this is probably, somebody's fucking with these people. This is satire. This is, you know, I found out it came from 4chan. I was like, this is all a joke. I was like, this is all a fucking joke. Just the way that it, like, literally, legit, we, like, ran into this lady because she believes in weird shit. And then all of a sudden she was talking about QAnon. And then she was saying, like,
because the vampires are getting hungry.
Like, can you take that seriously? That's kind of how we entered QAnon. Just these some of the crazies that we had already been following and antagonizing, I suppose, is the correct way to say it. They started posting Q shit all over the place. And so my first impression is that it might be bullshit. Not that these people didn't believe these crazy things, but that when you get to the top of the pyramid, it's bullshit. It's somebody having a big old laugh.
And I mean, that is one possible interpretation, especially some of the early content. Q at one point goes, the Council of Wizards and Warlocks will not be defeated, which is something you might say at a literal LARP. It's fucking ridiculous. And you can unpack that in different ways and go, oh no, it's really a reference to the movie Snowden, which, sure, why not? It probably is. But you are also LARPing real hard in talking about the Council of Wizards and Warlocks. I have to think that's smug. And then there was another smug self-congratulatory moment when Q was putting together a very elaborate deception that required goddamn satellite imagery to unpack, but I did it. And as Q was getting ready to post these very deceptive photos, Q made a drop that went, the art of deception. Like, and this is like an hour before, so this would have been while you were getting all the ducks in a row. I think Q is having some fun with it, or was, I should say, because, you know, Q hasn't posted since December 8th, but I really think they got a kick out of, haha, look at these people. They also frequently say these people are stupid. And you can read that as it's the cabal, but you can also read that as it's the followers.
Yeah, I one of the things I wonder is if the people who, or whoever was, like, I wonder if even just the person making the QTube videos back then ever saw somebody's, you know, crazy aunt start to post QAnon shit. Like, I wonder if they ever saw that, like the very end of, like, the tentacles or whatever, or how it, like, brought people in. Because by the time people started watching, like, QTubers and commenting on it and stuff, they were already pretty well gone. So I'm just curious, like, how far out from the source that the people who were, you know, writing the Q drops or doing the baking. I just wonder kind of how far out they saw. I know that that's not a question for either of you specifically. It just kind of occurred to me that it's, you know, how far up the fucking funnel did they see?
I think pretty far up, actually, because at some point Q starts posting a lot of links to Twitter, a lot of links to YouTube. And to me, this suggests that Q almost certainly has an account out there, by the way. Like, somewhere in Twitter's database, it is information that can tell you in like 10 minutes who is Q, or at least what account did they use on Twitter to look at all this stuff. But I've tried asking nicely and they're not going to say yes to that. But the fact that Q is aware of this sort of broader QAnon ecosystem tells me that Q does see at least a fair amount. And Q is also hanging out on 8chan. So Q sees people, you know, bringing in ideas from other corners of the internet. And while that's not necessarily the same as seeing somebody's granny posting it on Facebook, in fact, he was notably not about posting Facebook content, except a couple of memes that Q did steal wholeheartedly from Facebook. I have the sense that Q did at least know that the tentacles were out there and reached a lot longer than you might expect.
A lot longer. I think a lot of people were posting Save the Children shit without even knowing what they were talking about.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And that's tough, too, because, like, there are so many more people who hold these Q-adjacent beliefs without believing in Q as a prophetic figure that it's tough to talk about what does it even mean to believe in QAnon. If you think there's a cabal of, you know, pedo-Satanists running the United States and Donald Trump will arrest them all and execute them en masse and life will be better afterwards, to me, that's QAnon. You're a QAnon believer. But a lot of people who believe that have never in their life set eyes on a Q-drop. And it's very tough to categorize, other than to say the whole thing is a big old problem, regardless of whether you go, oh, it takes X to be a Q-believer. You are really cleaning up on the subs.
That's 20 gift subs. That's it's actually my one of my real life friends. Thank you. Yeah, so we got just a couple minutes here before I move on to the, we'll call it the YouTube and Rumble random conspiracy video panic attack that is the rest of the show. We'll start with you this time, Al. Have you found like other Q researchers to generally be pretty pretty open and willing to talk to you and to try to help?
Oh yes, absolutely. It is a wonderful community. Travis View is sort of the dean of Q researchers, and I've very seldom known him to be wrong about anything. There are also a bunch of other excellent analysts who sort of took me under their wing and went, hey, dumb, you're making a dumb mistake. And again, as I learned more after their corrections, I was like, oh damn, they were right. I was making dumb mistakes. So they share knowledge. They listen to, once I actually knew what the hell I was talking about, they were willing to listen to me. It's a really great community. No complaints.
Fantastic. And I guess the same question to you, Robert.
Yeah. I could probably ask for help more often than I do, but you know, I have found everyone in that community to be super generous, super welcoming, very intelligent, talented. And yeah. I mean, I have no complaints.
Yes. Fantastic.
And these aren't just polite noises also that we're making, like polite, socially appropriate praise. I really mean it. They're great.
No, I mean, that was like a fish hook hanging out there for you to say something nice about the other people. Of course, I've found that to be the same, even before we hit Twitch and before I had a medium sized audience or whatever, or like the beginnings of a cult here. Julian Field just kind of came on my podcast to talk about QAnon in his podcast. So yeah, I found that generally anti-conspiracy theory folks are pretty generous with their time and willing to help anybody out who's kind of fighting the good fight with them, regardless of how big they are, until you get to a certain level, right? Like Rebecca Watson's not coming on my show, right?
One could hope, but yeah.
One could hope. Okay, well, where can people find you, Al?
On Twitter at Q Origins, and we have a website, which is QOrigins.org. Wait, Robert, is that correct, or did we...
Yeah,
is it only Q Origins Project?
You can do that, or I mean, you should probably go to qoriginsproject.org, because if you go to qoriginsproject.org, the images aren't going to load, because I don't really know how to configure servers that well. So, qoriginsproject.org. It's a better one.
Let me know if you need help. Yeah. I know how to configure a server.
Oh, perfect.
Where can people find you, Robert?
I'm going to have to pronounce my Twitter name for like the first time. Kunst der Fuga. And then there's a one at the end. You know, honestly, you should just go to Q Origins on Twitter and then try to find me from there if you even want to, but follow Al, I would say.
Yeah, you're always like retweeting and talking to each other or whatever. You can also find Robert in our Discord under Kunstrefuge. He's a blue name. I don't know, because he gives us money, I think. I don't know. Or maybe he once gave us money. What? Anyway, thanks both of you so much for joining me. I know we kind of put this together at the last minute this afternoon, and we'll definitely have to do this again sometime. I had fun, and I think chat really enjoyed it too.
Yeah.
Thank you.